Am I the only one here tonight? Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks of taking all the good we got and turning it bad? Hell, I'll be damned. I think I'm turning into my old man. Am I the only one willing to bleed or take a bullet for being free? Screaming what the hell at my TV for telling me, yeah. Am I the only one not brainwashed, making my way through the land of the lost, who sees it as it is and worries about his kids as they try to undo all the things he did? Am I the only one who can't take no more screaming? If you don't like it, there's a freaking door. This ain't the freedom we've been fighting for. It was something more, yeah, it was something more. Am I the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white and the blue? Burning on the ground, another statue coming down in a town near you. Watching the threads of old glory come undone. The only one.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-pork-eating American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Terrific. Good evening, Vito. Great to be here, as always.
It is great to be here, and I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Sue from New Mexico, Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. By the way, great block spot this week, and of course, in commemoration of 9/11 on Saturday, he had some great stories in there. Bigfoot put a nice little preamble to the to Saturday's 9/11 post. Very nice. And yesterday was links to John Sobieski Day, and learning a little bit more about the Polish King John the Third Sobieski. So thanks, Big. I appreciate the history lesson. And I want to say hello to Ducky from Northwest Gulf Dogs, HOV Radio, and Paul Sutliff, host of the Sutliff Report on Thursday evenings. And Paul's got Claire Lopez on this Thursday, so that should be a really good show as well, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Global Patriot Radio. So no PGA golf this week, but there was a European PGA event. It was the BMW PGA Championship, and many of the world's best played this tournament. And America's Billy Horschel shot a 7-under-65 on Sunday to take the lead, and then he held on to win the tournament at Wentworth Golf Club in Surrey, England. So congratulations to Billy Horschel. He won €1,125,952. He beat out let's see if I can say this, Kiridesh Afrabarnrat, Laurie Cantor, and Jamie Donaldson to hold on to a one-shot lead. And but I'll tell you, Al, in true American fashion, and Holger had sent me a text, so I listened to it. But in true American fashion, Billy Horschel threw U.S. Ryder Cup captain Steve Stricker under the bus for not calling Billy to tell him he wasn't chosen to be on the Ryder Cup team. Now, look, I know these guys want to make the Ryder Cup. They're passionate about it. And you know what? Your play dictates being chosen. And Billy Horschel's play was inconsistent all during 2021. Hey, God bless him. He won a tournament in Euro. He's been playing well, but not well enough to be chosen. There was a reason for that. And, you know, maybe the other reason that he wasn't called was maybe there was a distraction. It would have been a distraction to call Billy while he was in Europe playing in this big BMW PGA championship. And if he would have called him on Saturday or Friday and said, hey, you didn't make the team, it could have bummed him out. And who knows what would have happened. May not have won. He could have won. But I'll tell you this, because of this classless act, if Brooks Koepka can't play due to injury in the Ryder Cup, Billy Horschel is going to be the last person I'm going to call if I'm Steve Stricker. I'll call Harvey Schwartz to play, okay, before I call Billy Horschel. And we wonder why the Americans don't do well in team events against the Euro team. I mean, it's just this kind of disharmony that really is discouraging. And, you know, Horschel could have said 101 things. All he had to say was, you know, I'm really disappointed to make the U.S. Ryder Cup team. I know my play was inconsistent, as he did say. And, you know what, I'm going to move on, but hopefully, you know, I'll give me a kick in the butt to play better. And for some reason, Brooks Koepka can't play. Steve, you got my phone number. Boom. That's all he had to say.
Ego.
Yeah, I'm so Hubris. Disgusted. These Florida Gators. Typical Florida Gator. I mean, I just, never mind. I was going to say something. I know somebody who knows, you know, he was a jerk at the club he belonged at. So, anyways.
He should have pulled a John Rahm, just like you said. Very tasteful, even when he got booted out of the tournament on a Saturday, 7 strokes ahead. Yeah, he could have whined and screamed, said, oh, well, I could let me play by myself, blah, 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 nobody else cared. But no, he was more poised than I was because I would have taken the low road.
Well, there you go. We'll call Billy Horschel Road. There it is. I was just disappointed in it. I really was. And I mean, I don't know Steve Stricker, but, you know, I don't know when these calls were made or to be made. But if the calls would have been made prior to or while he was playing in the BMW PGA Championship, I can fully understand why he wasn't called. So I think it's just
if they did make the call, they would have gotten blamed for trying to get in his head and just double screw with him.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, one little emotion, you hit a bad drive or hit a bad shot, and, you know, it's like, damn it, I can't even make the damn Ryder Cup team, and boom, you know, instead of shooting 7 out of 65, you're shooting 4 over, you know, 76, and you're out of it. So, yeah. College football was in week 2. An upset of the number 3 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes by the Oregon Ducks. Quack, quack. Did you watch that game?
Absolutely. That was one of the best games of the weekend. My wife even watched it and stayed till the end.
Wow. I mean, the Ducks walked into the Buckeye Stadium and they handed the Buckeyes, the Oregon Ducks handed the Buckeyes their first loss of the season. And it was really in dominating fashion, too. I mean, Ohio State never controlled that game, never. They came back a couple of times, but they got within 7 points. But I got to give it to the Oregon Ducks, man. They quacked Buckeyes right over the head. Number one, Bama. They fit the bill. That was foul, I got to say, you know.
water off my back.
There you go. I'm glad you didn't duck the issue on that one, though. You might have been too chicken.
You quacked me up.
Number one, Bama. Number two, Georgia rolled in their respective games. Number 5, Texas A&M squeaked by Colorado in a barnyard sleeper. 10-7, not very convincing win by Texas A&M. But squeaking, and speaking of squeaking, number 8, Notre Dame squeaked by Toledo, 32-29 in the last minute. And I'll tell you, that's not a good sign for Notre Dame. No. Hank Jones, number 10, Iowa Hawkeyes. They beat in-state rivals, the Iowa State. They beat Iowa State 27-17. The Hawkeyes look good. I did watch that game. I don't know if you watched them, but that was a good win for them. And Stanford Cardinals beat number 14, USC. Not a good start for USC, so goodbye 14, probably goodbye top 25 rankings for USC. Stanford, I guess, looked pretty good. Bigfoot's number 19, Virginia Tech, beat Middle Tennessee, and that's 2 in a row for Virginia Tech. And lastly, Air Force shut down Navy 23-3, and I believe the defensive coordinator of Navy got fired. And a funny tweet on Twitter today, Navy loses 2 games in a row and coaches get fired, yet Biden and his administration botches Afghanistan, 13 American soldiers dead in the process, and no one gets fired. That was pretty funny.
That's great.
That really is.
When sports and politics collide, you want to watch the Hank Jones Polysports or listen to them.
Listen to them. Right, Wednesdays, 5:30 Eastern time.
Yeah, great show.
Next week, some good games. You got UCF, University of Central Florida, takes on Louisville. The Alabama Tide takes on the Florida Gators. That should be a good game. Georgia versus South Carolina, another good game. Oklahoma versus Nebraska. Oklahoma should roll on that one. Clemson versus Georgia Tech. And the Virginia Tech Hokies versus the West Virginia Mountaineers. So some really good games next week. So let's see if the Virginia Tech can make it 3 in a row.
Mm-hmm. And in tennis, we got the U.S. Open.
That's right.
Men's singles. Congratulations to Medvedev. Straight sets wins. I missed that, but I did see the women's. Did you watch any of the Open?
You know what? I did. I didn't watch the whole thing, though. I love U.S. Open tennis. I didn't see. No, I don't remember who won on the women's side.
Yeah, Raducanu from Great Britain beat Lily Fernandez, and that was a great matchup, even though it was just straight sets. But it was exciting.
I'll tell you,
fun to watch.
Danil
limited grunting. It was watchable.
Oh, it was watchable? Because, boy, the women can grunt. Holy crap.
I mean, normally I like when women grunt, but grunting and tennis, they don't go together. It doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry. Call me a sexist pig, Neanderthal, knuckle dragger, but that's how I got to call it with tennis these days.
You sexist pig, you. What was impressive about Medvedev?
I tell you, if anybody, I just want to put it out here, since I'm under the bus completely with all four wheels. If anybody likes watching tennis because of the noise of the players, call in and tell me why, because I want to hear it.
Okay, back to you, Al. Back. I had an idea. I dropped a light bulb. I have an idea. No. Let's see if we get any calls on that one. That's good.
When sports and social commentary collide. They don't have a show for that.
I was really surprised that Medvedev beat Novak, but what's even more surprising, as well as Novak Djokovic was playing, he beat him in straight sets. I mean, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4. That's dominating. That means he held on serve. He broke him once each side and each set to win the match. I was very impressed with that because I love Djokovic. I think he's certainly, in our time, he's one of the best tennis players in the world, without a doubt, hands down, one of the best. And he's just kind of
I would have bet on him to win. Great season.
NFL, speaking of sports, we'll stay there real quick. They opened up Thursday in Tampa Bay, Florida. And in true anti-American fashion, the NFL is an anti-American disgrace. Let's just say this. I don't really care who won. I didn't watch the game. But the issue is with the NFL and their social justice platform, it absolutely sucks. Why? There is no reason to be playing the Black Anthem. And I've read articles where it's Black National Anthem. No, there is one national anthem in America. It is called the Star Spangled Banner. There aren't two national anthems. There are one. This is the United States of America. The NFL, if you want to engage in social justice, that's fine. Social justice for feeding the homeless, housing the homeless, feed the hungry. In 1963, America broke the civil rights barrier to erase this color scheme that we have in America today by the Marxists. I mean, even Dr. Martin Luther King gave his life being assassinated on the streets of Memphis, at the hotel in Memphis, Tennessee. Why? Because he had a vision of all men being created equal. And now the NFL is engaged in dividing America with their political cowardice, this stunt that the NFL is pulling. There is one anthem in America. It is called the Star Spangled Banner. And if the NFL insists on playing these two anthems, playing the national anthem and this black anthem as a separatist movement, they can go straight to hell. I will never watch another football game, okay, as long as it's on. I mean, this is absolute insanity. This is about the United States of America. You have no problem with professional sports raising money and being philanthropists for the community, just like the PGA does. The PGA raises $1 billion, okay, over 10 years and helps the communities. That's social justice. That's reform. But to sit there and now play two anthems in the United States of America, that is absolute bullshit. And if it wasn't for, okay, America giving opportunities, you would have these thugs who are playing professional football in the streets of America today. But the opportunity that America provides, it should be embraced by the NFL. These sweetheart TV deals have enriched the players. And if you're trying to equate America to Iraq, America to Afghanistan, America to Saudi Arabia, America to Venezuela, you're smoking pot. Just go to those countries. This is the United States of America. We have one national anthem. It is called the Star Spangled Banner. End of story. Goodbye, NFL.
But wait, isn't it racist? I'm sorry. A black national anthem.
Yeah.
Is there a white national anthem or a Asian national anthem? I know there's a Russian national anthem. There's a Nigerian national anthem. All all good songs, yeah, and kind of catchy, but a black national anthem based on race, yeah. It's kind of racist.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. You know, we've moved away from all this racist stuff for since 1963. What is that? 58 years. We've tried to move away and be inclusive. And you know what? The United States of America has been inclusive. The United States of America is the land of the free and home of the brave. You know, and the opportunities are boundless. I mean, we even elected a black president twice. A black president. Give me a break. This is the United States. There is one national anthem, not a racist. And you know what? I demand that we play the Italian national anthem. See the NFL playing the Italian national anthem. You're right. It's racist. It's flat out racist. And the NFL are a bunch of cowards. The NFL upstairs, the front office, are cowards. That is cowards.
Yeah. Well, let's play the Danish national anthem.
Is it
or not?
Cheese. I don't even know what the Danish national anthem is. Yeah, the disco version.
God, it sounds like I'm in church. I'm not getting it. I'm not digging the Danish national anthem. Sorry.
Well, I just think that the Star-Spangled Banner is the anthem. It is the national anthem, and for professional sports in America, NFL is based in America. You play the national anthem just like the Professional Hockey League does. The NHL has no problem. There is no fluff and no bull crap about playing a black anthem. You play the national anthem, and you know what? I respect the fact that they play the Canadian anthem because of the dual countries that the NHL, the National Hockey League, appeals to. That's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that. And when in America, they play the Star-Spangled Banner first and then the Canadian national anthem and vice versa when they're in Canada. God bless them. There's nothing wrong with that.
And
I can't wait until hockey season
and
starts. Go ahead.
Yeah, and there is no race in the national anthem because our motto, E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one, does not call for a black national anthem or a white national anthem. It calls for a national anthem. We're all
correct.
Americans, damn it.
And then they wonder why.
Yeah.
It's just disgusting. I tell you, it's just absolutely disgusting. It's absolutely ridiculous what we're seeing happening today in America, especially when you've got the NFL rolling over like the cowards that they truly are. Speaking of cowards, did you hear that dictator Joe Biden had issued his dictatorial unconstitutional edicts? Got a 2:34. I know, and I'm sorry. I hope everybody is done with their dinner.
Everybody's got to hear it. Don't apologize.
Yeah, this is
vitally important. This
well,
is national security.
I'm just giving them our listeners a warning. Just so if you're eating dinner, you know, go ahead and stop eating first. I don't want you to throw up in your mouth. I mean, this is you know, listening to this buffoon is incredible. Here you go.
If we raise our vaccination rate, protect ourselves and others with masking, expanded testing, and identify people who are infected, we can and we will turn the tide on COVID-19. It'll take a lot of hard work. It's going to take some time. Many of us are frustrated with the nearly 80 million Americans who are still not vaccinated, even though the vaccine is safe, effective, and free. While the vaccines provide strong protection for the vaccinated, we read about and hear about and we see the stories of hospitalized people, people on their deathbeds among the unvaccinated over the past few weeks. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated overcrowd our hospitals, are overrunning emergency rooms and intensive care units, leaving no room for someone with a heart attack or pancreatitis or cancer. This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you, the people you work with, the people you care about, the people you love. My job as president is to protect all Americans. So tonight, I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week. Some of the biggest companies are already requiring this. United Airlines, Disney, Tyson's Food, and even Fox News. My message to unvaccinated Americans is this.
What?
What Tell more is there to wait for?
Oh, what?
What more do you need to see?
What? I don't know, Joe.
We've made vaccinations free,
but you were gonna
safe and this. Convenient. The vaccine is FDA approval.
Oh.
Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient.
Yes.
But our patience is wearing thin.
Yes, patience.
And your refusal has cost all of us.
Bullshit, but yes, good narrative.
So what a great narrative, huh? I mean, what a way to continue to bamboozling Biden. You know, here we go with this tyrannical little Caesar trashing the U.S. Constitution, issuing authoritarian and tyrannical edicts. And, you know, in good Democrat Party, Communist Party fashion, he has zero respect for America, zero respect for Americans, and zero respect for the United States Constitution. This is a tyrannical edict. And the fact is, bumbling Biden botched the COVID response, and he continues to make empty promises and after empty promises. And, you know, Biden, what he continues to blunder and bumble and stumble. This pathetic little man is truly inept and he's ineffective. This is the guy who said he was going to eradicate the virus. He was going to say, it's about time we got adults coming into the White House and all of these little talking points that this chronic liar, this big man on campus, okay, who at least tries to be, continues to botch. He botches the border, botches the economy, he botches the evacuation of Afghanistan, and he botched the COVID response. And now this spineless, feckless little fraud and his little Biden band of thieves are blaming Trump for Afghanistan, and we're supposed to believe now that the tyrannical little dictator Joe, okay, he's growing frustrated. Well, you know what? We're frustrated too, little Joe. We're frustrated with a 45 to 50% increase in gas prices. And I wish Boy was here to tell us how much more expensive it is in California for gas, okay? Having gone up, what, 70%? We're frustrated with grocery prices rising 37%. We're frustrated with your feckless and hapless way that you're going about in supposedly governing. And we're growing tired of your chronic lying. You're a divisive individual. You're installed to be divisive, and you're doing a great job in dividing America with your tyrannical and unconstitutional edicts. God, what did you take away from it?
All I know is this piece of garbage just said that I'm in the process of killing my friends and family by being unvaccinated, that I'm in the process of killing people in my community, being unsafe, that this is all on my shoulders because I choose not to be vaccinated. I just got the shingles shot. Someone asked me if I had a vaccine. I said, oh, yeah, I just got the shingles. shot a couple months ago. But I don't like being blamed for this when I'm going to get a vaccine for a vaccine that has an efficacy rate of 40 to 50%. So if you get the vaccine, you still can catch the COVID and you can still transmit it, and you're probably worse because you think you're invincible, that you're a super person, and that you run around because you got the vaccine, but you may be asymptomatic and spreading it all over the world. And then, God forbid, if you have your own antibodies, you get the vaccine, and then your natural antibodies get all squirrely and squishy and don't do as good a job as they can.
That's exactly
you, Joe Biden.
It. You know what? Biden hasn't spoken about the people who have the antibodies. There are people out there who have the natural antibodies that have less than a 1% rate of transmission or contracting the virus once again. Vaccinated individuals have a 44% chance. This is from the Corona World Virus News. 44% chance of getting the virus. And if you're unvaccinated, you have a 55% chance of getting the China virus. If you have the natural antibodies, you have less than a 1% chance of getting contracting the China virus. And this is what's really deceptive about this lying Biden. And the fact is that the people who have the antibodies, okay, are able to fend off the China virus. And the other part is that of course Biden and company will never, ever talk about is the releasing of over 1 million illegal, unvaccinated, infected aliens throughout the United States. We're talking about the rise in COVID. First of all, let's go to Israel, who has, what, nearly 100% vaccination rate, and they've seen a surge, okay, in COVID patients in Israel, who has at what a 97% vaccination rate. And in the United States, in Massachusetts, the Boston Globe was forced to admit that 74% of those contracting the China virus were vaccinated individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to see, and as Belly put it in the chat room, we're starting to see that those people that have the gene therapy, the vaccine, okay, are becoming infected. They're being hospitalized. So there's something in this vaccine that is causing a transmission of the China virus to keep it going, and we're seeing other strains, so they say. You know, I tell you, there's so much wrong with this, and for bumbling Biden to issue these authoritarian edicts is absolutely unconscionable. You know, after he had his press conference on, what was it, Thursday? After he had his teleprompter reading on Thursday, then you had all of a sudden Hapless Harris comes out of the woodwork and she conducts this round table with women, and they're beating up on Texas and the anti-abortion bill they passed in Texas. And she's sitting around the table and she's talking about, what about my body, my choice? So here she's talking about my body and my choice, and yet when you talk about the China virus, you don't have a choice because you have King Biden, okay, King Joe, sitting there issuing an edict now that actually paralyzes businesses. He's going to take food off the table of Americans who want to work. Now, this virus has a 99.7% survival rate. 99.7% survival rate, and King Joe, okay, the little Caesar, wants to shut the American employment down, wants to start penalizing businesses that have 100 employees or more. I was talking to some individuals, and they were talking about, they were going off on DeSantis in Florida. One person was. The other person wasn't. So I looked up some numbers. And there are 21,477,737 people in Florida. And do you know, Al, that in the state of Florida, there is, you know what the survivor rate in the state of Florida is, especially since King Joe and his merry bands of thieves are trying to make Ron DeSantis out to be this irrational individual? Florida has a 99.98% survivor rate of the China virus. Do you know that?
Damn.
99.98% survivor rate in the state of Florida if you contract the China virus. Now, they don't tell you how many snowbirds go down to Florida and die, okay, from the China virus, like Terrence McMahon did, who was that playwright from New York who on Thursday, back in March of 2020, has the China virus, gets on a plane, goes to Kennedy Airport, okay, and exposes all the people in Kennedy Airport, then exposes all the people on the plane. He knows he has the China virus. He flies to Tampa International Airport with his husband and infects the people in Tampa International Airport, okay, mask or no mask. Then goes to his condo in Sarasota and infects the people, and exposes the people in Sarasota. And this is Thursday. On Tuesday, he's taken to the hospital and he dies. And he dies from COVID. Now, he's listed as a fatality in Florida. So how many snowbirds come down and artificially enhance that number of, 47,000 people died in Florida? So 21 million people, a 99.98% survival rate. They try to compare it to Vermont. Well, look at Vermont. You know, Vermont has a 87% rate of vaccinations in Vermont. And they're doing it. Vermont has 623,989 people. Now, I don't know if you're an illegal alien, if you're going to go to Vermont or you're going to go to Florida. What do I want to go? Well, you know, I don't have any winter clothes. I don't know if I want to go with 6 feet. Let's go to Florida. They got nice beaches down there. I mean, this is incredible. This is absolutely incredible, the lens at which they are going to instill fear into the American people.
Fear is the operative word. It's all about fear.
It's all about fear. And Paul,
I tell you.
Go ahead.
You know what really frosts my spike protein is the fact that if I go to the hospital, these doctors, they go to all that school, they have this Hippocratic oath that says, I will do no harm. Well, let me tell you, these doctors, they have been arm twisted by these insurance companies and lawyers to the point to where they cannot prescribe to me, if I was to go to the hospital, they cannot prescribe to me ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak, period. So no ivermectin for me, even though it may help, most likely would help. Instead, they're going to put me on the Regeneron, and then if I go even further downhill, then they'll throw me on a ventilator, which has been proven not to be really all that helpful and has probably killed people. But they can't give me these other medications that would help me. So imagine how these doctors feel. I honestly do not think these doctors get into the doctoring business to be told that they can't prescribe something to help somebody. But I think if they're so scared that they're going to get sued or fired from, there used to be practitioner doctors who would open up they'd open up their own offices and then start, it'd be like a small business. A doctor will open up their practice. It'd be like a small business, but now it's like big business.
Yeah.
So they can't care for me. And the government makes it where I have to break the law in order to take these ivermectins and these other drugs that will help me in the case that I do catch this COVID. It makes honest, truthful people liars. And it makes these doctors nothing but robots. And I feel bad for them. It's not right.
And what's really sad about this thing, this whole thing, Alice, what sparked a thought that you and I had discussed, you go to the hospital and you're doing poorly to the point where they're vacillating whether to put you on a ventilator or not. Okay, so your condition is worsening. But what about going at all costs, using all treatments that are available to you, irrespective of the fact that an ivermectin pill is 10 cents? Then you have a doctor that – I've seen this doctor on Newsmax several times, including last week. They have 100% survival rate with being treated by ivermectin, 100%. And what is the issue of treating an infected person with the Chinese virus with ivermectin if that means that that therapy is going to work? Because I'll tell you something. If you're put on a you're bad and your condition goes down and they put you on a ventilator, you can pretty much kiss your ass goodbye. And it's almost like they get a thrill out of that part of it. The government does. You know, well, let's get the statistics. You know, if you're being denied, you know, the ivermectin treatment or the hydroxychloroquine, which could help. And look how they're vilifying Joe Rogan. I haven't read the whole story, but Joe Rogan was a proponent of or is a proponent of ivermectin. You know, and it's just like it's just baffling. This whole thing is really baffling to me. I've never saw such disinformation that comes out in order to make sure that people are scared. People are scared. My 17-year-old niece was scared. I mean, she didn't have a mask on. Oh my God, I forgot my mask. We can't go in there. It's like, oh my God. First of all, your survival rate. 17 years old, and your survival rate for contracting the China virus is 99.9%, even if you get it.
Wait a minute. So she was scared to go to the store without a mask?
Yeah, we get out of the car, and she says, oh, I can't go in. I forgot my mask. It's like, what do you mean? Let's go. Well, I know I don't have a mask. Oh, my God. We stood there, and it's like I had a mask in my car. I gave it to her because she was literally scared. And, you know, and this is – that means that the campaign of deceit by the left wing, by the government is working.
She's a smart kid.
Yeah,
she's a very smart kid. Yeah.
And a mutual friend of ours, okay, a relative in the medical field absolutely is going ballistic on people who don't get jabbed. And – has disinvited our mutual friend and his wife for any holiday functions unless he gets the jab. And you know what? He's had the China virus, as his wife did. Both have the antibodies. They both tested positive for having the antibodies. So they are even lesser at risk than all of those fruitcakes that have gotten the jab. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what we're seeing. Gulp dogs
tearing families
nose
apart
every night with hydrogen peroxide. That's interesting. Go ahead. What was that?
No, it's tearing families apart.
It is. It is.
More division, more divisiveness.
Isn't that what the Marxists want, though?
Yeah. And now Joe Rogan, his story is great because he had all of these medications on hand. He was waiting. He figured, hey, I'm going to get it eventually. He had the whole package. He had the ivermectin, the hydroxychloroquine, the Z-Pak, the whole thing. And the minute that he felt like sniffles are coming on, you know how you can tell when you get a flu?
Yes.
Your back would, like, tingle a little bit, and you do that a little bit, and you know, it's coming. I can feel it. Well, Joe Rogan just started taking all of these prophylactics because he knew that it was coming, and then within a week, over and done with. And now CNN and these other news outlets are calling him a liar. In fact, Joe Rogan, he put out an article and on his podcast. He goes, F you, media. Y'all are all liars, with more colorful language. He called them effing liars, the media, because they're trying to – they don't want his story out because his story will inspire people because people like Joe Rogan.
Well,
he's a no-nonsense guy. No bullshit. They'll tell you exactly what it is, whether you like them or don't like them.
I mean, you have the media who's complicit in this ruse, and it's turning out to be a ruse. They're scaring the crap out of people, and there are therapies that work. And the therapies that work aren't necessarily the jab. So What is the fascination? Why are they requiring this gene therapy? Why? And then we see the increase in COVID cases, and the increases are not from the unvaccinated. The increases in COVID cases are with the vaccinated. So that means that this vaccination doesn't do what it's supposed to do, or is it doing what it's supposed to do? And it's keeping the transmission of the China virus alive. And it's mm-hmm. like government control.
Yeah. And now they're saying everybody needs the booster. Now you need your booster shot. And meanwhile, President Biden is saying, well, everybody has to get the original COVID vaccine, or else, and he's forcing the private companies with 100 or more people to enforce it and make sure that their people have proof of vaccination, or they're going to lose their jobs. People are going to lose their livelihood, their ability to feed the family, careers that they spent years building, hard workers, and people just playing by the rules. It's disgusting, totally disgusting. And
so here's
for
little...
And wait, one more thing.
Go ahead.
You know
Go
what's
ahead.
Even worse than all that? If you're a veteran and if you're not vaccinated, you cannot go to the VA to get your medical care. So now he's screwing the veterans.
I mean, this is unbelievable. This is, you know, they talk about this fixation on how many people died, but the contracting of the China virus, how many cases there have been, and the number that have recovered. We're talking about the numbers are astronomical as who's gotten the China virus, and then the mm-hmm. recovery is just as so 99.7% of the people survive the China virus. So this is little Dictator Joe's words that is reading up the teleprompter. The Department of Labor will require employers with 100 or more workers to give those workers paid time off to get vaccinated. Okay. Now, wait a minute.
Hey,
I need 3 days to get vaccinated. Well, you can go down to your grocery, you know, you go down to Walgreens or CVS and they'll do it there in 15 minutes and then you can come back to work. I need paid time off for 4 days. No one should lose pay in order to get vaccinated or take a loved one to get vaccinated. I'm going to take my ex-wife. I'm sorry. It's only for loved ones. I'm going to take my ex-wife to get vaccinated. No, only for loved ones. Today, in total, the vaccine requirements in my plan will affect about 100 million Americans, two-thirds of all workers. There you go. This is the guy who's anti-capitalist, he's anti-free enterprise, and he's anti-business. I mean, this is nothing but an attack on business yet again. And it's absolutely incredible what we're seeing today. And then he talked about, I love this part of it. He says, well, you know, you're holding up people with heart disease and pancreatitis. It's like, where did you get that from? I mean, is there a run on pancreatitis in America? I'm not making light of the fact that, you know, because pancreatitis is very serious. But what is he talking about? I mean, this is insane. The man is... This is what we are seeing today. Again, it's contrary to what he promised, what he said he will do. And you know what? It doesn't matter what dictator Joe Biden says anymore because it's a lie. He just says things, you know, for sound bites, for sound effects, and they're just talking points for that day. I mean, even the FDA got up in arms about this booster shot. They had no idea about the booster shot, and you know, King Joe Biden has diarrhea of the mouth once again because he wants to be big man on campus. I mean, it's incredible what this buffoon is going through. There is an article Go ahead.
No, go on. Article. Yeah.
There was an article that said our problems are deeper than Biden, and you know what? That was a great article. Here's two paragraphs. Biden's September 9th. Statement towards Americans who have not taken the COVID-19 vaccination and the new measures he announced are totalitarian. He and his allies are hell-bent on transforming the country from a constitutional republic into a dictatorship. The Democrats are attempting to federalize presidential elections, eliminate voter ID, prevent voter roll-up updates, mail unsolicited ballots, add guaranteed Democrat seats to the Senate, and increase the number of Supreme Court justices. Our founders structured the government to withstand efforts by unscrupulous people to impose an undemocratic system on us. We have never been this close to the constitutional system's demise. While the Civil War could have resulted in two countries, there is no way to divide the country between the factions now vying for control. One must prevail. And I thought that was a really good two paragraphs in an article. Our problems are deeper than Biden. And I'll put that link in the chat room for people.
Outstanding. Well, I just got an email from United Healthcare, which is my healthcare provider.
All right.
President issues 6-point plan focused on business engagement and vaccinating the unvaccinated. On Thursday, September 9th, the president unveiled a 6-point COVID-19 response plan in response to the current rise in cases across the country. The strategy focuses on 1, vaccinating the unvaccinated, providing further protections for the vaccinated, 3, keeping schools safely open, 4, increasing testing and masking, 5, protecting economic recovery, and 6, improving care for those with COVID-19. That's broad strokes. That means nothing. The plan includes requiring more than 80 million Americans that you already talked about working in the private sector to receive COVID-19 vaccine or produce negative test results at least once a week. It's expected these new regulations will be issued by the OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, in the coming weeks and apply to companies with 100 or more employees. Tyranny. This is tyranny, if there ever was tyranny. A year ago, if someone was to tell me this was going to happen, I go, no, we're not there yet. I'm always the we're not there yet guy, but we are here. And it creeped up on me so fast, and I was wrong. It's here.
Well, you know what, Al? It's here because look at the effort that was put forth by the establishment, and I'm going to call the establishment. You call the unified. The effort that was made in order to oust Donald Trump, And I still believe that in 2016, it was a shocker. The heir apparent was Hillary Rodham Clinton. They, for whatever reason, Hillary Rodham Clinton hit a sour note. They didn't anticipate it. There's no way that a guy like an outsider like Trump would win. Trump wins. He upsets the apple cart. And then look what happened from day one of his presidency, from January 20, 2017 to January 20 of 2021, there was an all-out effort of resistance of this man. Everything the man did was met with resistance by the Democrat Communist Party, led by Nancy Pelosi and that schmuck in the Senate, Chuck Schumer. And in doing so, everything President Trump did, and did well, as a matter of fact, moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the capital, just destroying ISIS after Biden and Obama fucked up the Middle East, including Iraq and in Syria, and also Libya. The economy brought gas prices down, made America independent on energy. And this was not good. It was met with resistance. When President Trump looked at the fraud that was inside the government, including the elected and former elected officials like one Vice President Joe Biden, who had diarrhea of the mouth and announced how he and Barack Obama withheld a $1 billion loan guarantee to Ukraine, immediately the Democrat Communist Party went into action and sought to impeach President Trump. It wasn't President Trump. It was Joe Biden who clearly admitted that they withheld, he and Barack held a $1 billion loan guarantee unless a prosecutor was fired. So we saw the resistance mode. We saw the impeachment after impeachment attempt especially by Adam Shitless, who settled a sexual harassment lawsuit with a male intern and settled that covertly using a taxpayer-funded slush fund. And yet there is no backlash. Now, after Bumbling Biden is installed, we have no anonymous sources. We have Bumbling Biden reads its teleprompter, and as the press then asks questions, he just turns his back on him and walks away, and suddenly that's okay. That's okay. But nothing is made of President Trump leaving the White House, okay, walking out of the White House, making his way to Marine One, and for 35 minutes, answering questions one after another, irrespective of who the newsreader is. Doesn't matter who it is. He's asking, they ask him questions. He takes the questions. He answers them. There's a sense of transparency, a level of transparency there. And we don't see that from the feckless fraud Biden, because Biden, they want to keep this guy under wraps. This guy is a loose cannon, and they can't afford for him to go off of his teleprompter, because when he does, he shows how inept he is. And he actually was, you know, during the campaign, the man was uninspiring. He lacked the inspiration, but it was okay because the fix was in. And yes, I am saying that I believe that the election was fixed. 81 million votes that Biden got, there's no way that Bumbling Biden got 81 million votes. There was a reason why he was summarily ejected in 1998 during that presidential election after he was found to have plagiarized, okay? Because the man's a liar. He's been a liar his entire political life. And the man is a racist. But yet the media, which is controlled by the DNC, the media shields this man. And what's even more sickening, after Biden-Harris botched Afghanistan, okay, Nancy Pelosi, of all people, Nancy Pelosi had the audacity to defend Bumbling Joe Biden for botching Afghanistan. She had every fucking excuse in the book. And yet, every time President Trump took a breath, she was on his ass and tried to humiliate him, undermine him, okay, and impeach him. This is what kind of a fraud we have right now in the U.S. government. Nancy Pelosi is part of that good old boys and good old girls cabal in Washington, D.C., and what we have now is a man who is not qualified to be dog catcher, let alone his vice president. The hapless Harris is an absolute buffoon herself. I mean, she is less qualified to be vice president, let alone president, God forbid, okay, than Biden is. I mean, this is one of the biggest ruse that we've had. But then you look at it, Al, and you look behind the scenes, and you see who the players are, okay? Samantha, what's her name? She was with the Obama administration. Now she's going to be in charge of overseeing what's the Haitian earthquake. Then you got Susan Rice on domestic policy. Susan Rice on domestic policy? Oh, that's right. She was involved in Benghazi. That's right. We had Barack Hussein Totoro Obama. You had Joe Biden, Hillary Rotten Clinton, and Susan Rice. Oh, 13 American soldiers dead in Afghanistan 2 weeks ago. Oh, Biden, Harris, Obama, and Rice, the same team. Hillary Rotten Clinton was in that team, you know, back in 2012. So, you know, it's the same players who are undermining our constitutional republic, and it's the same ones who want to control the American people. And this article that's in Business and Politics, that article was absolutely brilliant. I mean, it's a great those two paragraphs. Our problems are deeper than Biden. And for him to issue these unconstitutional, authoritarian and totalitarian edicts is unconscionable in the United States of America. That's how little the Democrat Communist Party thinks of our constitutional republic. And how little they think of the American people to boot. They have utter contempt for the American people. And then you've got Biden sitting there vilifying those people who are unvaccinated. So I guess in his little mind, that empty suit, okay, back before the vaccine went into effect, 100% of the people who died were unvaccinated, and they were the cause of the deaths in America and around the world. The same with these sick SOBs, these sick left-wingers who sit there and say, well, Trump's got all the blood on his hands from the corona. Oh, really? What about the Chinese? China is somewhat complicit in the 31 million people who have been infected around the world and the 700,000 who died in, or 670,000 who died in the United States. I mean, give me a break. God almighty. This is unbelievable what this man is issuing these days. And there's no outcry by the DNC media. You know, now people are starting to push back a little bit, but I'll tell you what, God bless the governors in the United States who are taking a proactive approach to this, okay? And they're saying this is not going to happen in my state. Kristi Noem came out, the governor of South Carolina came out and said it will not happen in our state. Good for him. It's about time. You know what? The punching bags of governors have been Ron DeSantis and Kristi Noem of South Dakota. These other governors have to start stepping up and stand up for the constitutional rights of the American people, and as well as the U.S. Constitution and the 10th Amendment with states' rights. Who the hell does this guy think he is? Well, I know who he thinks he is. He thinks he's a big man on campus. He's nothing but a feckless old fraud.
Who makes horrible decisions.
Oh, awful. He's been awful. He's been wrong in everything.
Well, he's wrong again. President Biden, his administration, what they did in Saudi Arabia, we have Patriot missile batteries because Saudi Arabia is currently in a war with Yemen. Yemen is a function of Iran. They're a part of Iran. They're a satellite state of Iran. Well, the Houthis over there, supporters of Iran, are sending missiles and drones over into Saudi Arabia. So we, and I'm no big fan of Saudi Arabia, but we gave them Patriot missiles to protect themselves because we don't like Iran. We do not want Iran to have the bomb. That's the worst. That's the two evils. That's the worst evil. Well, President Biden pulled the Patriot missiles from Saudi Arabia. So now from Yemen, they can now lob missiles and drones to their heart's desire against the Saudi Arabians, which is actually helping the Iranians. Now, why do you think Biden is doing this for the Iranian? He's doing it for the Iranians to help the Iranians.
Yeah, help the Iranians.
That is another bad decision. It's going to blow up that entire region.
But Al, look who has an office in the White House. Okay, look who has an office in the White House.
Oh,
who did he bring back in?
Going.
You know who he brought
the
back
Ayatollah?
In? Yeah. Well, you're pretty close. He brought the Muslim Brotherhood back into the White House. Okay, after Trump kicked them out from the Obama Biden White House, look who the buffoon Biden brought into the White House. He brought in the Muslim Brotherhood, and some of these edicts that are coming out, some of these decision making process are all with the Muslim Brotherhood's blessings. And you know the Muslim Brotherhood is writing some of these speeches for this teleprompter. There's no way, shape, or form he can make such comments without the Muslim Brotherhood being empowered once again. And again, did we learn anything 20 years now? Saturday, 9/11, the 20th anniversary, okay, of the day America was attacked by 19 Muslim men, financed by Saudi Arabia, trained by the Islamic terror organization Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. What have we learned in 20 years? 2,753 people died in the Twin Towers. And, you know, it's a little more than some people did something, as the anti-American, anti-constitutional, incestuous Ilhan Omar stated a couple of years back at the Corrupt Care event. The con men of care never corrected the anti-American Omar, never asked her to retract her statement. It's because they all stick together. I mean, September 11, 2001, in addition to the attack on New York City by Islamic jihadists, the other soldiers of Allah hijacked another plane and crashed the plane into the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., minutes after attacking New York City. 184 people died at the Pentagon. 2,753 people died in New York City at the Twin Towers. And some people did something. Three planes hijacked by Islamic jihadists, Al-Qaeda, financed by Saudi Arabia, 2,934 people dead. And there was a fourth plane en route to Washington, D.C., Flight 93, perhaps headed to the U.S. Capitol or the White House. 40 passengers and crew on Flight 93. They know their plane has been hijacked. What they didn't immediately know, the airplanes were being used as a weapon. Missiles by the Religion of Peace to destroy America's symbols and iconic buildings. Passengers on Flight 93, led by Todd Let's Roll Beeman, are able to contact their loved ones, and they find out America is under attack. One of the worst terror attacks since December 7, 1941. But within minutes, passengers aboard Flight 93, true patriots, are not going to sit idly by while Islamic jihadists execute their plan to use their plane as a weapon to destroy either the U.S. Capitol or the White House. And the passengers rush the cabin to commandeer the plane, and in the process, the Flight 93 goes down in a vacant field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. All 40 passengers and crew were killed. However, the true patriots were not going to let Islamic jihadists attack America one more time. But in total, 2,977 people died on 9/11/2001 at the hands of Islamic jihadists, at the hands of 19 Muslim men financed by Saudi Arabia, trained by Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And like December 7th, 1941, we shall never forget the Japanese launched an attack on America. We are reminded and know the Japanese launched and executed an attack on America at Pearl Harbor, and that is a fact. And the fact is Islamic jihadists attacked America on September 11, 2001. It wasn't just a couple of guys out for a morning walk, as Hillary Rotten Clinton likes to make excuses for Benghazi. 9/11/2001 wasn't about some people may have done something. September 11, 2001 was a day 20 years ago where Islamic jihadists attacked our republic. There were remembrances in New York City, on TV, on social media. The names of the 2,753 people who perished on 9/11/2001 at the Twin Towers at the hands of Islamic jihadists were read aloud once again. Their names will be forever engraved in stone around the 9/11 monument in New York City. What never ceases to amaze me is how 9/11 commemorations are used in a disgraceful way, such as how the con men of CARE make 9/11/2001 commemoration about them, about Muslims being victims, not even showing the respect to the 2,977 dead at the hands of 19 fellow Muslims. Instead, the con artists of CARE acknowledge 19 Muslim men financed by Saudi Arabia and trained by Al-Qaeda attacked America on 9/11/2001. Why can't you acknowledge that? What's wrong with that? But the con men from CARE made the 20th anniversary of the most vicious attack on American soil about Muslims being victims in America. Don't acknowledge it was Muslims who undertook the attack on America. Reliance of the Traveler, Umdat Salik, page 599, defines jihad to war against non-Muslims. So why wouldn't the con artists of CARE not utter the words Islamic jihadist or Islamic terrorist attack on America on 9/11/2001? They just keep talking with talking points. Some people may have done something. We in America allow these con artists of CARE, the hustlers of Hamas, the flim-flammers, and the masters of manipulation, the Muslim Brotherhood, to define the narrative. And the narrative is Muslims are victims in America. Muslims' constitutional rights are being abridged. Like maybe who? The shoe bomber? Maybe Islamic terrorist Nidal Hassan, a soldier of Allah who killed 13 fellow soldiers and wounded 30 at Fort Hood, Texas, are his rights being abridged? How are the rights of Muslims being abridged in America? I mean, after all, it was con artist of CARE, Dallas Executive Director Mustafa Carroll, who stated on the Capitol steps in Austin, Texas, if you're a true practicing Muslim, you're above the law of the land. Above the law of the land. The land being the United States of America. The land being the state of Texas. Now, what laws govern the United States of America? Ah, the U.S. Constitution. Devout fundamental Islamist belief Sharia should and is the law of the land in their seditious and treasonous belief, Dar al-Harb. It was Mustafa Carroll's boss, co-founder of the con artist of CARE, Omar Ahmad, who stated, Islam is not an America to be equal, but to become dominant. 20 years after 9/11/2001, the Muslim Brotherhood, who are the masters of manipulation, have defined the narrative. Islamic jihadists who hate the kuffar, the infidel, hate the non-Muslim, killed 2,977 people on 9/11/2001. And thousands more across the Western world since that fateful day. But don't be fooled. The con artists of CARE making a victimhood video. No apologies for fellow Muslims, fellow jihadists attacking America on 9/11/2001. No apologies, since this is an intentional avoidance of facts and a distraction so as not to comment on who carried out the attacks on 9/11/2001. Might I remind you, 19 Muslim men, financed by Saudi Arabia and trained by Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. No apologies for the soundbite perverting the Islamic religion. You know, that's what we heard all these years. Well, these terrorists, they pervert the Islamic religion. Because if you apologize, you are criticizing fellow Muslims, irrespective of being an Islamic jihadist, because there's only one Islam, remember. You are criticizing the words of Allah. You're criticizing the words of Allah as written in the Quran. Quran chapter 4, verse 71. Oh, you who have believed, take your precautions. So go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. Or how about Quran chapter 4, verse 84? So engage in war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. You see, this is what the con artists of CARE do best. They provoke their believers. If you're a true practicing Muslim, you're above the law of the land. So what is that? That is provoking the believers. Oh, how about Quran chapter 9, verse 5? That abrogates 124 verses of the Quran. So when forbidden months are passed, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them and take them as captives and besiege them and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. You know, ambush like 9/11/2001. So if they repent and perform the prayer and give legal alms, RICO Act, so leave their way free. See, there is a reason the con men of CARE and the manipulators of the Muslim Brotherhood never admonish or criticize their fellow Muslims for acts of jihad. Because page 599 of Umdat Salik, jihad is defined to war against non-Muslims. And they know as true practicing Muslims, they cannot go against the word of Allah. I personally found CARE's 9/11 video a disgrace and insulting. But this is the con men of CARE. They use the Constitution to destroy the Constitution. The con men of CARE hide behind the First Amendment to use freedom of speech to destroy freedom of speech. You're right away, you're an Islamophobe. You're a hater. You're a xenophobe. Anything to silence you. Proof is in their pudding as they attempt to silence any views opposing their radical anti-American agenda and label you and me as haters and Islamophobes. And remember the mission of Islam, to instill fear into the hearts of the disbelievers. And we know the campaign launched by the manipulators of the Muslim Brotherhood is fraudulent because instead of lauding America for giving Muslims the freedoms, the hope, the liberty, and the opportunity they would not otherwise experience living under the oppression of Sharia in the 56 Islamic states and the Palestinian territory, they play the victim in America. It's all about domination. It's all about supremacy with the Dar al-Harb being the end game. And remember, it was Omar Ahmad, a co-founder of CARE, who stated the following. Islam is not in America to be equal, but become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. So tell me, we've been on the air here at GPR, Global Patriot Radio, for 13 years. We've been speaking about the con men of CARES statements. What part of Omar Ahmad's statement don't you understand? We're talking about a man who was the founder of the Islamic Association for Palestine, which was shut down by the U.S. government for what? For raising money for Islamic terror organizations. And he's now the co-founder of Corrupt CARE after the IAP, the Islamic Association for Palestine, was shut down by the federal government. Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. Not equal, to become dominant. Those words have a meaning, provoke the believers, which means Omar Ahmad and Nihad Awad and the Muslim Brotherhood believe Islam should dominate America and Americans. Now, is that difficult to understand? Did you hear the quest for supremacy, for domination? This is what Islam's goal is for America and the West. And now they're in the White House. Hassan al-Banna, the father, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood in 1928, stated, it is in the nature of Islam to dominate, not to be dominated. So in good domination fashion, the con artists of CARE released a 9/11/2021 video with the Palestinian Nihad Awad reading the victim script from his cue cards. Not apologizing for fellow Muslims, fellow Islamists, fellow jihadists, Muslim terrorists for attacking America on 9/11. Sadly, once again, the chiselers of CARE get away with their deceit. If you dare say anything contrary to the con artists of CARE, you're an Islamophobe. And don't forget, it's the same con men of CARE who never corrected, nor had they admonished Ilhan Omar for making such offensive statements about 9/11 and at a con artist CARE function when Omar stated, on 9/11, some people may have done something. Really? Tell that to the 2,997 families. Whether it's 19 Muslim men or an anti-American Muslim in Congress and the con artists of CARE, do not call their fellow Muslims out, nor demand apologies or retractions of statements. And why? Because the con men of CARE know they are just being good Muslims. CARE's goal is simple. Play the victim and do it at all costs. Quickly define those who see right through their facade and are opposing their anti-American ideology as being haters and Islamophobes. It doesn't matter if those opposed to CARE or the Muslim Brotherhood or Al-Qaeda or ISIS call out their actions or words, even using the spoken words of the anti-American Ilhan Omar, some people may have done something, or the anti-American Omar Ahmad, who believes Islam is in America to be dominant. This makes you a hater. It makes you an Islamophobe for calling out these seditious and treasonous statements. So let me say this in ending, and I know we have a guest. To make the Quran the highest authority in America means the goal by Islamists and Islamic organizations such as the Con Artists of CARE, the Islamic Society of North America, the International Institute of Islamic Thought, is for Sharia to supplant the U.S. Constitution. Do you understand that? What other conclusion can you arrive at when the Muslim Brotherhood states that the Quran should be the highest authority in America? It means its goal is to supplant the U.S. Constitution. 20 years after the most horrific Islamic terrorist attack on U.S. soil, and the enemy is active on U.S. soil. They're active, and they're in the White House as well. You can thank the feckless fraud, Joe Biden, for bringing them back into the White House.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, my God. You know what? We have to find a song for this guy. Hold on a second. Don't say any more. I've got a nice little song here. that we
it better be good.
It's going to be
Colonel.
Good.
Thank you, Al. Thank you. Vito,
hey,
how you doing?
I'm doing well. Colonel John, man, what's going on?
Well, I'm glad. Oh, okay, I like you.
I love this guy. This is Colonel John, baby. How you doing?
Mother, good song.
There's too many of you.
What is going on? I
so
like
what's
it.
What's going on?
Oh, man. I'm glad I had the opportunity to listen to your monologue. I was telling Al that we are now the victims. American people are the victims. Our president has made us the victims. And now it's personal for me, as I was telling Al when I talked to him. I'm so glad I heard from you today. I'll be honest with you. Up to this point, didn't even know how to express myself on what's been happening. But I just feel a need to share some of this with your listeners. I retired in 2008 and as a colonel and, spent most of my time in the 101st Airborne and the 82nd Airborne and was in Operation Desert Storm, Operation Iraqi Freedom, and all those wars that were in Iraq. When I retired, I never went. I had never gone to Afghanistan. Well, as fate would have it, I decided after retiring that I would go work for a company that worked over in Afghanistan. And I was working with the 5th Special Forces Group, training their special forces, the commandos. And I was over there for over a year. I got to make a lot of relationships over there as a contractor. I was at probably greater risk than what the Special Forces guys were because I didn't have a weapon. All I had was my wit and try to blend in with the population. And as a 6'2", 220-pound guy, black, it was a little bit challenging at times, but I did the best I could with what I had. So those relationships that I was able to cultivate over there with the Afghanis were important to me. And only about a week ago, it's probably about 2-3 weeks ago, I got a email from one of them saying that my driver was killed and his wife and 4 kids were trapped. Naturally, that brought some emotion to me to know that. And then could or is there any way that I could help them in getting a special invitation visa for the wife and the four kids? So I didn't know what I could do, but I did have some friends in some places that I immediately went to work on doing, and up to this date, don't know what happened. I did hear back from the messenger that they were still trying to get out. And now I don't know if she's out with her kids or not. I don't know. But that is to an even greater degree the feeling that most veterans are having, and I really do wish that they would stop saying the veterans of Afghanistan, because it really isn't just the veterans of Afghanistan. It's the veterans of this country that this man has betrayed. He has betrayed every asset, every major military asset, personal asset of this country and what he's done. He has not only taken our pride away from us, our dignity away from us, he's not taking it. He's stolen it. He's stolen it from us. Over what we have put blood and sweat into in the deaths of many, many sons, fathers, and daughters. So here we are, and we're at a place now where he has to make amends. He has crossed the line. He has crossed the line. And not only now, at this point, And my belief is at this point, he knows he's crossed the line, and the only thing that he can do is stick to and double down on what he has done. And so can Blinken, and so can Lloyd Austin, and so can the Secretary of Defense. These people will not admit that they were wrong. They will never do it. It's not going to happen. This is why the American people have to make it so.
John, and thank you for those words. And you know what? The people need to hear this from the heart, and they did. And you used the term he crossed the line, and I haven't heard anybody use that. And that is such a great – that is the right terminology, because the damage control and I what I found offensive was I found Lloyd Austin and General Milley's news conference absolutely offensive. Because now the narrative between Austin, General Milley, and Anthony Blinken is not to acknowledge any part of the evacuation, but what a great undertaking of an evacuation that they did in just 12 days. And I find that offensive. Yeah. It's not only is it a distraction, but it's deceitful. It's an absolute deceitful statement. And, you know, you being military, I want your comment on that. I find it so offensive that we have the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, and General Milley having a news conference, and the narrative isn't about the botching of the evacuation. It's about how great of an undertaking it was and how successful of an undertaking it was, and then to blame President Trump.
I sat there and listened today, because I don't know if you guys had a chance to actually listen to his testimony. I'm talking about Milken. Yeah, I'm talking about Secretary Milken. Had an opportunity to sit there and listen to him, and on almost every answer, and I'm so glad you said this, on almost every answer, he said or alluded to the fact that it was time for us to go. It didn't make a difference whether we would have stayed one more month or one more year. The Afghani military was not going to change their colors. They were not going to get any better than what they were. And all we were going to do was be expending more lives and more money. So that was their premise. And that is just infuriating to me, because no American is arguing the fact that we were going to leave. Hell, Trump was going to leave. We all were going to leave. But it was in the execution of the withdrawal that everyone has the issue. They don't want to get to that. They don't want to face that. And that's why they stay high behind. But here's the deal. You got a lot of people now that are seeing through that. You've got 30% of the population that never will. They never will. They will always agree with what the Biden administration did and what they're doing now. They will never come to the justification. The reason of disagreeing with that administration. This is never going to happen. These people are not in it for the country. They never were. You see, even with all of the mistakes that Trump may or may not have made, Trump made those mistakes against his character, not his character, but against him. In other words, against the way people looked at him. He never made mistakes that had an impact on the country, because his premise was, The most important thing was the security of our nation. So any mistakes that he ever made was against his personal self, by opening his mouth when he probably shouldn't, and probably by saying things that people didn't understand when he made certain comments. So all of the comments that Trump ever made about whatever he said were all against him, never against our country. And now when you have a guy like Biden up there apologizing for our country, going to other countries and giving them $93 billion worth of our equipment, Blackhawks. You know how much a Blackhawk costs?
No.
And they didn't get the new ones. They got the ones I used to fly. $6 million a copy. One Blackhawk. Now, in the testimony today, Milken said, they asked him, what about this equipment? What are you going to do to recover this equipment? You know what he said? He said, not worried about the equipment. The equipment will never be maintained. They won't be able to maintain it. Now, he makes a point.
But
those aircraft have immense maintenance. But I'm not concerned about that. I'm not concerned about that, Vito. What I'm concerned about is the technology and the intellectual property that we've just given to China and that we've given to Russia.
You see? This is the double talk, Tony. This is the double talk tone from this administration. This is deceitful. Colonel, this is absolutely deceitful. The issue isn't about the Blackhawks. We know the Taliban is not going to be able to maintain that. They don't have the money to do so. But they bring in the Chinese, and they bring in the Iranians. And now we're talking about intellectual property. And so this tone of deceit from this administration to double talk, to flippantly say we're not concerned about that, oh, my God, I just – excuse me.
Very, very insulting. Very insulting. And the small arms that these guys have, the M4s, the M16s, let me tell you something, guys. They have 60,000, let me say that again, 60,000 night vision goggles.
Whoa.
Do you know that when I was in the military and I would take my unit to the field, if Vito, Al, if we lost – if a soldier lost one set of goggles, everything shut down. Training shut down immediately. It was viewed as a sensitive item, a highly sensitive item, and it must be found. And we didn't leave the field until we found that set of goggles. Or somebody went to jail. We left 60,000 of those in that country. Now, when we went over there initially, when we went into Iraq, our motto was, we own the night. Well, guess who owns the night now? They're not worried about us coming back over there.
Yep.
They are not worried about it. We got to fight through that. We're going to have to fight through it.
Let me ask you
a question. Back.
I want to ask you this question. I think this is and Al and I were talking about this briefly this afternoon. You have Biden a couple of weeks ago reading off his teleprompter stating that they plan for all contingencies. We plan for all contingencies. And then a couple of days ago, and even today, I think during the hearing, Blinken stated it, that they didn't anticipate the fall or the collapse of the Afghan forces and collapsing in just 12 days. And my question is this. The one thing that they love to blame Trump for, well, Trump was going to leave, but what I see is the Taliban had a fear for Trump because they knew Trump was going to keep his word, and that was, if you overstep your boundaries, we're going to blow the crap out of you like we annihilated ISIS. So in early July, you have the Taliban advancing through northwest Afghanistan into the city of Herat. They take over Herat, and there's nothing from the Biden intelligence team, and I'm sorry I use Biden and intelligence in the same sentence, but there's nothing, there's no reaction. The Taliban makes its way and captures Herat and then moves further south in the west of Afghanistan and takes over Kandahar region.
Right.
Then they move north to Mazar Sharif. And again, there's still no reaction from the Biden administration. Colonel, I firmly believe that President Trump would have never allowed this to happen because it was part of his contingencies that the Taliban would not get a hold of that country. And so to sit here and say, well, we didn't anticipate the Afghan army to collapse in 12, the Afghan forces to collapse in 12 days, I think it's another lie and it's another deceitful message.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Leon Panetta was being interviewed today by Neil Cavuto, who I'm not a big fan of. But he asked Neil Cavuto. But Neil Cavuto asked Panetta, and Panetta is, for your listeners, guy was the director of CIA under Obama.
Clinton.
He was Secretary of State. He's been around. He's been around. Question was asked, do you think, same thing, what has transpired would have happened under Trump? And you know what this fool said? Yes. He's lying.
Uh-huh.
That
yeah.
never would have happened under Trump. And the reason why we know that is because when they did not go, his withdrawal was condition-based. No one is arguing that, not even them. It was condition-based. If you do this, then we will do this, and we will stop our withdrawal. And he did it several times. He did it several times. So his strategy was very methodical, and he was not in a hurry to get out. He certainly was not going to move. You know what? Here's a very simple question. And I don't believe that our congressmen, our Republicans did a good job in asking questions today. But here's the one question that should have been asked. The question that should have been asked was, so why is it, Mr. Secretary, why is it that this went wrong? Well, we had no idea that they were going to come in that fast. Okay, that's fine. But you see, that's not the real question, Mr. Secretary. The real question is, why would you not have left the military there for security until the non-combatant evacuation operations were over? In other words, you got our Americans out of there that are not soldiers. Why wouldn't you have left the military there? Because so no matter what happened, Mr. Secretary, they would have had security, and you wouldn't have 12 Marines and one corpsman dead. No one asked that question. Why did you – if you're telling me you let them go because you didn't think they were moving that fast, you need to hand in your shit right now. Just hand your ID card, everything in, and go home. You need to do that anyway. But
well,
that's
Colonel,
the question, and you're right. Yes.
Colonel, you haven't been listening to the talking points. The talking points have been by Baghdad Bobchansaki, by John Kirby, by bumbling Biden, is anybody who wanted to leave Afghanistan could leave. I mean, didn't you hear that narrative?
I did hear that narrative. And I also hear that there's only 100 people there. I've also heard there have been 100 people there for 3 friggin' weeks, and we've been moving people out. They only have 100 left. So, how many hundred is there 100? Is 100, does 100 repeat itself over and over? There are thousands of Americans there. There are special invitation visa people still there. They took everyone out except the people that helped the American soldiers. These people that rushed to the airport, to that airport, I can tell you right now, are not the people that were helping me when I was in Afghanistan. They aren't. Those are people who just wanted to get the hell out of there.
Well, they did rigorous vetting of these people, though. They had 65,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
And they did rigorous vetting. I mean.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What do you think about the giving up Bagram Air Force Air Base?
That is probably the, besides leaving our Americans there, that is the second worst mistake. It's not even a mistake. It's the second worst crime to this country that I think his administration has committed. Because in doing that, he left $93 billion worth of stuff there. He also took away our eyes. He's talking about over the horizon operations. How do you do over the horizon operations without eyes on the ground? You don't. You don't, gentlemen. You must have eyes on the ground. You can't do it. We have to have liaison with the people that are sympathetic to our cause, and they have to know that they're protected. Those people don't know that anymore. We have no more eyes. We have gone dark in that country and in that side of the world. That was the only airfield that was close enough to China that we could keep them in check with. Strategically right now, the only place we can really go is Qatar.
Wow.
And even Qatar is a 6-hour flight from there. So what we have done.
And Qatar's no friend of ours either.
No, they aren't. They aren't. I don't know if you guys understand Bagram Airfield. I'll give you a little history on Bagram Airfield. No
Please.
Soldier since we've been there, since we've been in Iraq for 20-some-odd years, no soldier gets into that country without going through Bagram when they're assigned to a mission, when they're assigned to Afghanistan. That's where they're in process, that's where they're trained, and that's where they project power from. That's where those units move out from. That is where our depot maintenance was for aircraft, for heavy machinery. That is where all of the major equipment comes in and goes out. That is also where our intelligence bases were. That's where we base those intelligence bases out of. Everything in human, everything in ELINT, in electronic intelligence, in human intelligence, all of those things were projected off of Bagram Airfield. So Bagram Airfield in its history was originally a Russian airfield when the Russians were there. The Americans came in, occupied it, and built it up, made it bigger. Gosh, it's got a 20,000-foot runway, 20,000 feet.
Holy crap.
It's a huge airbase. And it's got more than one runway, unlike Kabul. So what we did to ourselves was we took our hands, put them behind our back, and had the Chinese and the Russians tie the ropes. That's what we've
20,000-foot runway.
Runway.
Holy
yes.
I mean, that's longer than Denver Airport. Holy crap.
You can land a shuttle. You can land a shuttle on it.
Oh, my God.
This is a major, major airfield. It's a major airfield. And that's where Black Hawks were staged out of, Apaches were staged out of. I'm sure you gentlemen know that the Apaches that were there, when they came in, we had those Apaches flown out. The pilots in those aircraft flew those aircraft out, and I believe they flew them into Pakistan. I think that's where those aircraft were flown into. But they're having problems now because the Pakistanis don't want them there anymore. They want those aircraft out because they're bringing up too much attention. I don't know what they're doing with those now. I don't know. They're after the pilots. The Taliban want those pilots. Oh, and by the way, you know those Black Hawks that we left there?
Yeah.
Well, just so you know, the pilots that got left behind, some of them have been forced into training the Taliban and flying them. You just don't jump in a Black Hawk and fly. It's a very sophisticated airplane. It's turbine engines, two turbine engines in that thing, two General Electric T-700 turbine engines in it, and all kinds of redundancy, and you just don't jump into one of those and just fly away.
Boy, the Chinese are licking their chops. Holy shit.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. And that's why, you know, that's why he has gone into a whole different realm with the decisions that he's made to this point. Now, what he's affecting, even with trying to change the subject back, to the COVID virus, what he has done to himself is he's now turning Americans against him that voted for him. The highest number of ethnicity that don't want the shot are Black people. The people that voted for his ass that he's telling, you better get the shot, talking to us like we're his kids. That's the highest number of ethnicity that don't want that shot. Now, you got to ask yourself, why don't they want that shot? Could it be because Kamala said she won't get the shot unless if Trump has anything to do with it? I'm not doing it. Could it be that? Or could it be that maybe they did their research and they understand that they don't really need that shot? And it's never going to end.
We're told, though, that the people of color are poorer and they're on the lower end of the socioeconomic scale.
Yeah,
and therefore, it's not afforded to them.
Right. Right. I guess what I'm saying, Vito, is as he's trying to deflect away from this and go back to COVID, I think he's in quicksand. And I think he's sinking further and further and showing the people that voted for him who he really is or who he really isn't.
And who he really isn't. There you go. You know, Bigfoot makes a great point in the chat room. Black people might just remember something called the Tuskegee experiment.
Yes. Yes, I know I do. And maybe that's why. Maybe that's why we're not taking the shot. I didn't get the shot. I'm a Black man. I didn't get it. I didn't get it because I know that I don't need it. I'm in shape. Yes, I'm 60 years old, but I'm in shape. 99.999% of the people that get it live after it. You've got people coming in from the South, coming in over our southern border. That they don't give a damn whether they took the shot, whether they have COVID. They don't care. So that tells you right there, wait a minute, this thing cannot be as serious as you're saying it is.
Yes.
Because you're letting people come in here with it.
Thank you.
I'm not stupid.
Thank you. Thank you. That is a great point. You have 1 million illegal, unvaccinated, infected aliens coming into America. You've got the
right.
Biden administration transporting these people, disseminating them around all 50 states,
right.
And cities and towns across America. Okay, and now we're the ones that we Americans are the ones that are being made out to be the bad guys.
Right.
And when in fact
right.
these
no.
infected illegal aliens are coming in, and we're seeing the rise, but we're also seeing that the infected ones are those that have gotten the gene therapy, the vaccination.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, you know, just let him continue to talk. Just let him keep talking. And by the way, Vito and Al, has anybody seen Kamala? I went looking for her yesterday. I couldn't find her. I looked all over the place. I couldn't find her. I couldn't find her on the radio. Couldn't find her on TV. Couldn't find her on cable networks. Anybody seen her? I haven't heard a peep from this woman. Somebody tell me where she is.
She was holding a roundtable meeting with women with regards to the Texas abortion law. And she was talking about, it was my head, and if you are afraid of slavery, you have a right to hear what I'm saying there. And I believe in freedom of pain. And then everybody goes, oh, Hapless Harris is just, oh, how deep. Yep, that was the last time.
Okay
that
well.
Was after she got back from Vietnam and paying homage to Ho Chi Minh, who happened to be a communist dictator. He was the prime minister of North Vietnam, who we were fighting during the Vietnam War, who was arming the North Vietnamese to kill Americans. And she goes to Vietnam and she pays homage to Ho Chi Minh. So one Ho paying homage to another. I couldn't believe, how could you have that much of a PR blunder?
Well, listen, I think that they both are going to come together sometime this week when they wind up. And let me say this just for your listeners. L.A. needs L.E. L.A. needs L.E. Now, I don't know if L.A. knows it, but most of the people in L.A. know it. But L.A. and California need Larry Elder. And
yes.
You've got a woman with a gorilla's mask on walking close to him and throwing an egg at him. And the press doesn't say anything about it. And you're a black person, and you're watching that happen. And you are also a Democrat that voted for these sick people. Then you're a fool. You're a fool.
Yeah.
Because if the press isn't going to cover something like that, with her in a gorilla face throwing an egg at a black man.
Yes, correct. So
bullshit.
We have two things now. We have isn't a racial
silent.
Issue in America. There is no racial issue because that, if you want to talk about not just insulting, it should be a hate crime, and that is a vicious attack, and it's against a black conservative libertarian, and nothing is said, okay? And then, of course, you have
Absolutely.
1 million illegal unvaccinated aliens who are trampling through America and being distributed and dispersed around all 50 states. So do we really have a pandemic? And is there really a racial issue in America?
Yes, sir. Is there really a racial issue?
I'd say a gorilla mask is a racial issue. Downright offensive.
It was, I will tell you, I applaud Larry Elder's patience and his pause. Because if it were me and I'm walking and she throws an egg at me and she got a gorilla face on, that big bodyguard behind him is going to be pulling me back because I'm going after her.
I know.
I'm going after her.
she would have been flat out on the pavement.
Unbelievable.
It's disgusting. The hypocrisy that we're seeing today and the excuses that we're seeing. I mean, even Nancy Pelosi excusing bumbling Biden botching Afghanistan is unconscionable. So everything that, you know, for 4 years we heard the resistance, we heard the attacks on President Trump, and now you've got bumbling Biden botching Afghanistan, and you've got Nancy Pelosi making excuses for him. And that just goes to show that it was all manufactured, it was all engineered by the
All manufactured.
Way. Yep.
All manufacturing. A woman, by the way, gentlemen, that wouldn't even allow the 13 names of those heroes, those hero soldiers, to be read in Congress, in the halls of Congress. A woman that wouldn't allow that. You're telling me you're the Speaker of the House, and you're not going to allow that? And people are voting for these people? Now, look, you've got college universities and stadiums right now that are speaking out against this with their famous motto. I won't say it on your show, but y'all know what they're saying.
I do.
And stadium and football game after football game, they're saying it louder and louder. And these aren't old people.
No.
These aren't old people. These are
the
people that love their country.
The Mississippi State game was not a bunch of old people.
Yep.
Well,
yes, sir.
So
I appreciate you guys letting me come on the event.
Anytime. It was so good to hear from you. Al, you got any more comments for Colonel?
No, Colonel covered all of the topics with firsthand information. But I do have one question. All right, our commander-in-chief has clearly violated national security interests and aided and abetted the Taliban with $85 billion worth of hardware, software, God knows what else. Isn't there anything in the any of the codes that he can be tried for dereliction of duty or any number of things? What?
Yes, there are. Absolutely.
And who needs to file them? What are they and who needs to file them?
Well, I think he could actually be charged for treason and giving up an air base with the degree and the amount of – or dereliction, maybe dereliction of duty. And giving up the amount of equipment that he did for no reason at all. No reason. There was no reason for this to happen. And endangering the lives or actually causing the lives of 12 Marines in one corner. Because I do believe that the problem here is this. I just want Congress, I just want our Republicans to do something. They may not be successful. I don't care. But I want them to bring it up inside a congressional hearing to request the impeachment of this man. Why not do it? Just do it. Even if you don't get it, people know that you're at least trying to fight. You're fighting.
Yeah.
But all we're hearing is on the news, well, we're going to do this. We're going. What are you doing? They're not doing anything. Now we've got these hearings going on, but you and I, all of us, we all know, what are these hearings going to amount to? They keep asking, is someone going to resign? Who needs to? I can tell you right now, Lloyd Austin should resign. There's no.
Yep.
Milley should resign. And the Secretary of Defense should resign. Milken should resign too. They're all three of them are complicit. And the reason why Austin must resign is because he knew. I worked for Austin in the 82nd Airborne. He was a very capable officer, no doubt about it. Very capable.
Okay.
And I know he knew better. And I know they warned him, they warned, that is President Biden, that if you do this, if you retrograde your forces before you do noncombatant evacuations of our citizens, we are going to pay for this. This is not going to work. People will die. I know they told him that. The fact that he doesn't resign in protest of it is my problem. I don't know if you guys heard about that lieutenant colonel that was a Marine that said, I need you guys to resign. I need you to at least tell us what happened and admit that you did something wrong. And they refused to. And they said, if you feel that strongly about it, then why don't you resign? And he did.
He did.
And he did, guys. He resigned. 17 years in the Marine Corps. This guy gives up his pension. He gives up everything. But you don't hear about that. And yet you still have those three stooges still up there.
And yet the Navy defensive coordinator loses two games. He gets fired. So there you go.
Right. Good point.
Right?
Good point.
God. Hey, we enjoyed it. It was so good. Good to hear from you. And, you know, we'd like you to come back. I'm intrigued by Bagram Air Force Base, Air Base, and it'd be kind of cool to talk to you a little bit more about that, and maybe we'll get together as well, okay?
Yeah, great, great, great hearing from you guys and talking, being on your show again. Thank you, Al. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, take care. You know.
Hey, I'm sorry for your loss.
Have a good
too.
Week.
I really, I feel bad, man.
Yeah.
And I hope you're doing okay.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
No, thank you. God bless you.
Yes,
man, I'll tell you. Great. It was just so good to hear from him. We kind of had an email conversation today, and I wasn't sure if he's going to call in or not, and he did. So he can really shed some light. And we didn't get into, you know, NATO either, which he was also served in NATO, and he can also bring some light into the international community. And he is so well-versed, man. I just, you know, we'll have him back.
Definitely, without a doubt. Andrew
Harrod
said he might be on next week, so we're going to have a full-packed show.
Great. Yeah, Andrew Harrod has a great article. I mean, this guy wrote a fantastic article. You can see it in Jihad Watch, Afghan Through Michael Shuer's Eyes. If you have the time, please go to jihadwatch.org. Look up Andrew Harrod's article, Afghanistan Through Michael Shuer's Eyes. You want to talk about something that hits right to home and really spells it out. Andrew did such a fantastic job in this article. I really, really impressed. And he also checked out a show on Friday. So tomorrow night is The Crossing the Crescent at 6 p.m. Eastern Time with Eric from Kafiristan. Wednesday, you got Hank Jones and Poly Sports at 5:30 p.m. I'm sure he'll be talking about his Iowa Hawkeyes. It's getting tiring already. No, Thursday, we got the Sutliffian Report with Paul Sutliff. And he's also the author of a new book, The Cancer of Civilization, Jihad. Friday, Dr. Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christy on Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And we've got The Cross and the Crescent is back with their interfaith dialogue on Sunday at 5 p.m. And Al and I will be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows to check out on Blog Talk Radio is G-Ski and Dave on Airways America, 7 p.m. on Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Fridays. And the beautiful Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, a deplorable radio chick. She's on on Fridays from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time with her great sidekick, Curtis. I might be co-hosting that show on the 23rd, as a matter of fact, but we'll find out for sure. So that would be September 23rd. Friday. Chief, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. If you want a break from politics, check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. And also Audrey Russo, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays, Real Talk. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio. Go to audreyrusso.com. That's AudreyRusso.com. She's got a great show. She has some great guests as well. So I want to thank Sue from New Mexico. Thank you, Sue, for tweeting out our show. We really do appreciate it. I hope you're doing well and you're starting to feel better. We got Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Really nice 9/11 blog. Big, very good. Ducky from the Northwest. Hi, Guy. Nice to see you, Guy. Well, I'm surprised you're here. You must be the doghouse. And our big, fat, soft underbelly. Nice to see you, Belly. We had Iggy in the room. We had Golf Dogs. And also Paul was in the room. And Al, any potting shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next week.
Hey, thank you all for joining us. Safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings, and we'll see you next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Ciao, everybody. Be safe.
It was
get it?
Great show.
Oh, man. Colonel was great. It's nice to see Colonel John. Mm-hmm. Really is. I didn't know he was that deep into Afghanistan either. I mean, as a contractor, that was, you know, after. And then serving with Lloyd Austin, too. That's another one to expand on a little bit. And I'm sure that's what's disappointing about what he's seeing right now, because he knows Lloyd Austin. I mean, he knows him personally, I guess, or served under him, so he knows him. And to see what, you know, what's happening right now, it's just.
We'll find out next week. All good questions.
Al, I can't get over the fact that we watched, you know, for a week, we watched how the entire evacuation process was botched. You had planes sitting on runways for 6, 7, 8 hours. You've got planes stalling out. You've got 400 people on a transport with one bathroom, babies being born on the planes. And then Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary, and Milley, General Milley, have a news conference after Biden doesn't take any questions for 10 days, just gives statements off of a teleprompter, walks away, turns his back, takes a couple of fluff questions. And then Milley and Vannelli, they decided that they would just sanitize the whole thing and say, we had a successful operation. The evacuation was a success. And we've evacuated 60,000. We evacuated 100,000 people. We evacuated 120,000 people. And in 12 days, we did all this. And then the narrative from them and from Kirby and from Baghdad, Bob Jensacki, is, well, anybody who wanted to leave can leave. And it wasn't the case. And it's like, There is zero transparency, and I guess they really believe the American people are stupid, so stupid that now let's just move on to something else. Okay? 80 million people, yep. You don't have a job. I mean, how insulting is this?
Well, it wasn't even a smooth transition, because they left Bagram, and the Afghanis didn't even know that they left. All of a sudden, they were gone.
They were gone.
The Afghans are
leading weapons.
Where the Americans go?
Yeah, right. Yeah. 60,000 night vision goggles were left behind. 60,000.
And you were right about the equipment. That's a China gold mine.
It is. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they may not be able to maintain it, the Taliban, but they sure as hell, China is now their best friend, because they're mining the country up. Raping the country of all the natural resources, and they got this, and I can guarantee you China's going to have 100 technicians over there to go over all the equipment and then charge the Taliban to maintain it.
Well, I think
that'll be part of the deal. You can get all you can have all of our earth, all of our earth, $3 trillion. We'll just mine with ease and then you train us on the, all this equipment and maintenance.
Yeah, but cash? Hmm? I can see the Chinese government giving a stipend to the Taliban, because of course they say they're broke or whatever. They've got all that $100 million plus cash that was also left behind by bumbling Biden, and you know the Chinese are paying handsomely for that equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into it with somebody last week that, we know what it takes to maintain that. It's like, this isn't about maintaining a Black Hawk helicopter. This isn't about maintaining these Humvees and such. It's about dismantling them. Who's going to dismantle them? It's not going to be the Afghans. It's going to be the Chinese and the Iranians.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is incredible.
For me, the only light at the end of the tunnel is that Al-Qaeda and ISIS are going to want their share of the booty.
Yes.
Because war booty is lawful and good, and they want their piece, because ISIS had their part, because they did the supposedly they did the suicide bombing that put the icing on the cake, and they'll say, hey, we got the Americans out with that one suicide operation. We want ours. Top
Americans
say, F you, ISIS, so they'll be the tribal fighting. They can't not do it. So hopefully that will disrupt things. I don't know. We'll see. Either way, it's not good. There's going to be a vacuum, a power vacuum, and China's already filling it because they don't give a rat's ass about women or Burqa'd women. They don't care how badly they rape their women, how many child brides they take.
No.
How many donkeys they sleep with. They don't give a shit. They say, yeah,
no.
You live your life how you want. We're not going to have any judgments, moral or otherwise. We just want this. You supply this, we'll give you lots of money. You go and do what you want and take all the credit for everything that happens going forward.
And that's just it. They think that,
and then when
humanitarian-wise, it's going to be a humanitarian effort. What the hell? I mean, that's why this article by Andrew Harrod is fantastic. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I just heard about this $64 million of humanitarian aid going to Afghanistan, and I didn't want to believe it was true because we left way. I want to know who okayed that, whose decision that was.
Yeah, I read it was part of the some bill, and they took it out, and they put $63 or $64 million. Yep, unbelievable. It's unbelievable, man.
Mhm.
And yet
Republicans. Well, you watched the Blinken thing today?
Yeah, I did.
These Republicans. He's right. They were just saying the same crap over and over again, and they were yelling at Blinken and not putting him on the spot. 5 minutes is enough time. There were a couple that were very good about putting him on the spot, going, who made this decision to leave Bagram? And he wouldn't answer it or couldn't answer it. And even the congressman said, well, that was a State Department decision to leave Bagram. He goes, no, that was the military had a say. So the guy goes, well, so you're saying the military made that decision? And he wouldn't say that either. Because he knows that as bad as the military guys are, they're not going to leave a base of operation. That just would make no sense. I don't know. This is so bad. And then this tyranny and holding 80 million people hostage and threatening their jobs if they don't take this vaccine. Oh, my God. This is otherworldly. I am so glad I have not taken that vaccine.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm stunned at all this has happened. I never thought I would see this type of tyrannical government. Everything they've accused Donald Trump of when they manufactured and called him a fascist and a dictator is exactly what Joe Biden is. And not only is he a fascist and a dictator, he lacks the transparency, which makes it even more dangerous because the fool can't go off script. And he just reads that teleprompter, and he invokes these unconstitutional edicts, and it's incredible. There's no way, shape, or form this buffoon got 81 million votes. There's just no way. I mean, really. We said he ran an uninspiring campaign. He had maybe 100 people. He had that one campaign stop that had 26 individual circles, and they were two empty circles. And then President Trump's got 25,000 people in southern New Jersey, you know, the bastion of blue state. And you're telling us that this fool got 81 million votes? That's nuts. You know, and it's a chronic lying. He chronically lies and he embellishes. And the cover-up to protect this feckless old fraud is incredible. I never thought I'd see the day. I mean, at least Jimmy Carter had integrity. That's one thing. You know, we don't agree with his policies, but at least the man had integrity. There is no integrity. There's no ethics, nor are there any morals with Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. It's truly incredible.
Yeah, and George W. Bush, even worse.
His
we didn't even really talk about what George
know.
W. Bush, but his I don't know, his betrayal was worse when he essentially called all of us now domestic terrorists.
Well, you know, we're looking at, is there an establishment? Is there a swamp? Is there this one cabal in Washington, D.C. who hovers around this altar? And if you do not bow to this altar, then you're irrespective of your party affiliation, you're considered the enemy, and now you're considered a terrorist, because it's easy to call Americans terrorists, but God forbid you call Islamist terrorists. I mean, do you call Nidal Hassan an Islamic terrorist? Why haven't you? Why haven't you called Omar Mateen an Islamic terrorist who pledges allegiance to ISIS and kills 49 innocent people? And at that, most of them were homosexuals, okay? So now you've got a hate crime, but all crime is hate. And you've got a man who walks into a nightclub and kills 49 innocent people who is an Islamic terrorist. And you can't call the guy an Islamic terrorist. I just, yeah. Wow. Wow.
We're here. Remember, I've always been, Vito, we're not here. Yeah, we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
Right.
We're not there yet. We're here.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. We are. And quickly, too. And I'm telling you, I firmly believe that the 2016 election was a wake-up call for the inside establishment in Washington, D.C., for whatever you want to call them, the swamp, and it was a wake-up call, because the American people strayed from the reservation. It was Obama who was laying the groundwork and building that foundation, and Hillary Rodham Clinton was supposed to take over that and put on top of that foundation, and it didn't happen. And then Trump comes in. He makes it look easy, despite the constant ravaging of his individual being and his policies and the resistance that occurred. And now they got this feckless old fraud who just reads from a teleprompter, and behind the scenes, you've got Samantha Powers, Susan Rice, and Valerie Jarrett just implementing all of these Marxist movement, including unconstitutional edicts. We're looking at draconian. This is not about your personal freedom. He actually said that. I mean, the buffoon stands up there and says, this is not about your personal freedom. Excuse me? Wait a minute. And then, you know, an hour later, you got Hapless Harris saying, a woman's right to choose is about her body and her choice. Well, what about the vaccine? With a 99.7% survival rate.
Yep. Whatever happened with these recounts in Arizona and Georgia?
Yeah.
Whatever happened? Nothing.
Nothing.
Mike Lindell spent millions for his weekend marathon of voter fraud. Not one lawsuit came out of it. He spent millions. Nothing came of that. This is the kind of crap that frosts my spike protein. It frosts me. Totally frosts me that nothing ever happens with anything Republicans do.
Hey,
I need lawsuits.
There's a great machine out there, Al, and that machine is an institutional machine. Just like, have you heard anything with what's his name?
Whose name?
The who was the guy that was doing the investigation? Oh, he's a bulldog. Oh, he's a bulldog.
Oh, Durham.
Durham. Dunham. Thank you.
Durham.
Durham investigation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you heard anything
Nothing
more
happened
about
with
that?
Him either.
Nothing.
No. Bob Barr, same thing. He was cock-blocking Trump the whole time for over a year and a half.
Yep.
That was the worst betrayal. And then Pence, the ultimate betrayal.
Yeah. Yes. You're right. It's here. It's right on our doorstep.
Yeah, and I'm to blame because I'm the it's not here yet guy. I'm a part of the problem because so many others of people I know are like, we're here. It's now, and this was a year ago. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm not with you. I'm not with you right now. And then, but by the time you know it's here, it's too late. There's no there's nobody to turn this ship around. Where's Louis Gomer?
Yeah, where's Louis Gomer?
Tom Cotton? Where are all these Republican loudmouths?
You know, that's a great question.
And I love Louis. I love Louis Gomer. He's one of the stand-up guys. Did he get gotten that too?
You know, I almost would hope that the guys that have been outspoken, you know, like the Gomerts and Matt Gaetz, if you can get more of their ilk elected to Congress and they become the majority of that voice, that things will change. But as long as you've got the Kevin McCarthy's, you know, in there, and you know the vanilla Republicans, you just have an R after a name. That's it. And there's nothing. I mean, we should have learned from Ryan, you know, Paul Ryan. It was a great example of a guy that really pulled a rug right out from underneath your feet. Just awful.
Piece of shit. Him and Boehner.
Now, Boehner.
You know what scares me about, this? Is I know there's got to be, as much as there's a swamp, there's also a group of true patriots that are within our government that are operating underneath the surface somehow in some clandestine way, and that these patriots are going to become mercenaries, and these patriots are going to become the problem.
I hope
and then,
so.
Because they're going to get corrupted by it. It's just natural. It's human nature. They're going to be corrupted by being totally outside of the system for the system, and then it's not going to. That's going to be a bad ending too. Even though their intentions are all but good, and the only reason they're going down this path is because assholes on the other side are forcing them, who are trying to take the freedom and liberty away. But they'll be operating outside. They have to operate outside of the Constitution and the rule of law.
Yep.
I don't know.
Is there enough of them? That's right. Is there enough of them? And right now, I do not think there is. You got to get rid of the Murkowskis, the Mitt Romneys. You know, Susan Collins is in there for 6 years. She's not going to change. So, you know, what do you have? You have the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got Larry Elder, the prospect. You know, I hope it'd be really cool if he pulls it off in California tomorrow. That would send a devastating message. But hey, you know what? They fixed the 2020 election. I mean, if it's really close, and you know they're getting worried because they sent out Communist Kamala, and they're sending out all these people to assist, you know, Newsom, and they're worried. They're literally worried that Newsom's going to be recalled.
Yeah, and Larry Elder gets an egg thrown at him by some white woman in a gorilla mask. You're talking about systemic racism? Holy shit, it doesn't get worse than that.
I know.
That's disgusting.
Oh, my God.
Incredible.
And
the silence. Oh, the silence is...
Yeah.
By the media. Republican, too, media. They didn't push it out. Who is this? I want to know. We should know everything about this woman, who she is, who she associates with, what groups. And she should be in jail on a hate crime. I don't even know if they arrested her.
You know what? I don't know either. And Newsmax has been running it all day today. I saw a clip on YouTube where I think was it Tucker Carlson or no, Jesse Waters was interviewing Larry Elder, but they didn't say if they arrested the woman, and it should be a hate crime.
Because I remember that Antifa, they take these eggs and they fill them with paint and other liquids, God knows what, and they use them not just as eggs but as mini bombs. I mean, it's a perfect thing. Inject the liquid in there, cap it off, and there you go. People will see eggs. They were not going to get scared, but eggs filled with... You put a lot of liquid in there, it would not be good. What was in the egg? Who knows? Was it just an egg? But who cares? She was in a gorilla mask. She was making a political statement. calling him a gorilla, a black man, the first gubernatorial
right.
candidate in the state of California. And this racist shit.
Look at the rodeo clown that got fired from his job after 25 years. Every president that has been president, like Richard Nixon, Jimmy Carter, you know, Ronald Reagan, he donned the mask of the fake, and he puts on the Obama mask, and right away he's called a racist and he gets fired. But he's done the same thing with every president going back to Jimmy Carter and I'm sorry, back to Richard Nixon, and there was no problem with it. Immediately, you know, they immediately go ballistic when he puts on a Barack Obama mask, and this piece of garbage leftist puts on a gorilla mask and attacks a black man. That's the epitome of disgrace and disgusting.
Yeah, we don't know who she is. We assume she's a leftist.
They should have pulled her face mask off.
Maybe she's an anarchist. They should have tackled the shit out of her.
Yeah.
And that's assault. Throwing an egg at somebody is an assault whether you hit them or not.
I think the reason why she was wearing the mask is we say it's a she, but the fact that that person threw that egg and missed Larry Elder so badly, I think it was a pitcher for the San Diego Padres because they can't hit the strike zone.
No, that might be true. That might be an angle Hank might want to look at a little bit closer. Because when politics and sports collide, Hank Jones is there.
Oh, man. All right. Listen, you have a nice evening. Good show. It was really nice to hear from Colonel John. I really, really
I'm glad you called. I'm glad he's doing well. Yeah, I miss hearing from him.
Yeah, I was wondering. So one day if he comes, you know, I'm going to talk to him and see where he's at and maybe one day meet with them. And so, all right, man.
All right.
You have a nice evening. Sue, thank you. I hope you're doing well. And thank you so much for tweeting out the shows tonight, Sue. God bless you. And
all right,
have a nice evening, everyone.
All right, Sue. Have a great week.
That's all, folks. Thank you for using
Bye for now.
Radio.